Good morning and welcome to the August 29th, 2018 Your Living Brand Live show. My name is Ben Baker and my company is Your Brand Marketing. We want to help you to stop being a commodity and start being a brand worth loving. It's all about understanding who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, and most importantly, why people should care. Because when they care, you stop being a commodity. You stop being somebody that is one of many, just another quote, and start being a trusted partner. You start being someone that people look at and sit there and go, I know this person's going to take care of me. I know this person is trustworthy. I know that this person has my best interests at heart. And that's what this show is all about. This show is all about finding out what do you do as a company to work with your customers to add that piece of value, and how do you communicate your value in such a way that people listen, they understand, and they engage. Now, this week, I have Kenyon Sallow on the show. Kenyon is an amazing guy. He's a professional speaker. He's a motivator. And he jumps out of airplanes and lands at Denver Field during the Bronco game. So sit back, listen to Kenyon, enjoy the show, and I'll be back.
It is great seeing you today. How are you doing?
I'm doing phenomenal. So excited to be here. I really appreciate you bringing me on board. This is awesome to be here.
Well, you know what? We've been trying to do this for a while now. So, you know, it's about to, I mean, you are always on the road. You're always traveling. So it's, you know, it's great that I finally got you at your home base and you actually had, you know, some time to sit down and talk to me. So I appreciate that.
Well, you know, it's really a good problem to have, and that ability to be able to travel and be going to events or doing adventures or something on the go. I like that, having to really say, hey, what date works for you? No, yes. And yes. What I love about it is it always fills in that void that needed something there. So this is awesome.
That's cool. So for those people in my audience that don't know, I mean, every once in a while there are new people that come on the show. So thank you very much for being on the show. You know, this show is all about what makes you special and what makes you unique. You know, why are people different? Why are people, you know, not a commodity? What are the little things that they do to make them special, to get people to engage with them, to have people understand their value? So can you tell me the story? Tell me about, you know, where you came from, where you are, where you're going. Tell me the story of Kenyon Sallow.
Well, it all started as a young boy born in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, he's a local. He's a local Coloradan.
That's right. You know, my story is about 15 stories. You know, some people have that opportunity to say, I've lived like 15 lives. And some people say, I've lived one great life. And the grass is always greener. It doesn't matter what type of life you've lived. It's the life that you have lived. And that's really my storyline, where I've had lots of stories along the way. But the common threads through all of them have been adventure, challenging myself, definitely putting myself outside of comfort zones, fear, adrenaline, things like that. And then once I've learned those things, the other side of it is I've really enjoyed teaching others, sharing with others, coaching others, or just passing on wisdom of what I've learned along the way. And so those common things, where it was, how far could I jump my bike off the ramp at 6 years old to eventually skateboarding and then pro snowboarding in my 20s and into my early 30s, and then starting a one family in that adventure, and also finding skydiving. There was a transition from snowboarding to skydiving and base jumping and wingsuit base jumping, and being able to jump as one of the five premier members into the Denver Broncos home games. We skydive into every single one of those home games.
Crazy.
So that's been my life, and I've taken that all together, packaged that up, turned it into a really solid keynote where I can train upon leadership, team building, inspiration, motivation, sales, customer service, and be able to share that with the audience using the great stories and examples and wonderful things from my life as learning tools and aha moments, and just things that people say, wow, I'm that performance or that speaker that I saw really impacted me and changed my life. And I enjoyed the time I was there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it's just listening to you. It's about your passion. You know, it doesn't seem, whenever I talk to you, it doesn't matter what we talk about, it, whether it's your skydiving, whether it's your speaking, whether it's your coaching, it's always about your passion. And that's what I love about you. I love the fact that it doesn't seem to matter what we talk about, you're passionate about it. And,
you know, it's how you bring that passion to what you do. So take me on the process. I mean, you say that you have one, you know, major keynote speech that you do, you know, and you give me some hints. Give me some hints about, you know, what's the talk about, who is the type of audience that you usually speak to, and what do you want them to take away from it?
Well, ultimately, passion is really what drives an individual. And when you find that passion, you'll see what lights them up. It's that one thing where if you're talking to somebody at a bar and you're saying, you know, what do you do for a job? And they say that X, Y, and Z. You say, well, what do you do when you leave your job? If it's not their passion, they'll tell you. And then they'll talk to you for hours and hours about that passion. And you're right. I love being passionate about stuff. And I love being passionate about people. When I see people have an aha moment, I'm just like, yes, it worked. That's exactly what I was going for. Where they feel it, because an aha moment for an individual is one of the greatest moments in their lives, and they have them throughout their lives, but they're not every day, sometimes not every week or month. So they have these aha moments along the way. And for me, creating a keynote really came down to thinking about what the ideal experience would be for the audience.
Right.
And it's like writing that script, that manuscript or the movie script, where if you do it right, and then it's turned into the right movie, it's a movie that will win Academy Awards. And that's the way me and my team really thought about what are the things that we'll give to an audience. And we started with the basic framework of, let's just deliver three simple things. Mm-hmm. It's not death by keynote. There's not a million bullet points and things like that. It's like, hey, let's just talk about these three things.
Right.
These three things are create more experiences, share more stories, and live more fulfilled by helping others. And we realized once we built around those three concepts, we could teach many different audiences, from school groups to college to corporations, small and large, whether it's 100 people in a room for a small company or it's thousands of people in an audience for a corporation, that we can deliver this message throughout. And that message has been super, super powerful because it lands with audiences. I generally say, there's nothing new under the sun. There's no new leadership. There's no new sales tech. You know, it's like, it's always the same. What it comes down to is the delivery. And that's where the crowd came in. And the delivery is what keeps audiences engaged from the minute that I step on stage until the minute that I step off stage.
Well, it's about engagement, you know, because you're not up on stage for your own personal gratification. I mean, yes, I mean, there is a rush, there is a high, there is a wonderful, amazing thing when you're up on stage and you look in people's eyes and you see that they get it. But that's the key thing. The key thing is that they get it, that everybody walks away not only pumped up, but they're pumped up with tools in their pocket that they actually can use. And those are the neat things. And that's what I find is really great about a wonderful, powerful, you know, speaker, is that they not only pump up the audience, they not only get them excited, but they give them something that they can take away with them. And I love the fact that you can do that.
Yeah, ultimately, it's not about me. You're exactly right. It is about the audience, first and foremost. It is about what they will receive. And for those speakers that are out there that are like, I want to be on stage. I want to be the highlight. I want to be the center of attention. I want to show them
how. I want that spotlight shining right here. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and I can tell you after years and years of doing this, that spotlight can wear on you. Mm-hmm. But ultimately what keeps me going day in and day out is I think of someone who needs to hear this, someone who needs to experience this, to give them that switch, that redirect on their path, whatever it is. And I say, I'm delivering to that person and the other people will also receive. And so, yeah, I take me out of the equation. I'm just the conduit for the message, basically.
Right.
And I'm passing that message along so that they receive it.
Yeah. So how do you go about making speeches individual for a particular audience? Because you're right, you speak in a variety of, you know, different audiences. You speak to kids, you speak to sales organizations, you speak to, you know, to leadership conferences. And how do you go and make sure that, you know, that you individualize that talk? You know, you take the same talk, you take the same thought process, you say, take the same passion, but make sure that it's relevant to the audience that you're actually speaking towards.
That's an excellent question. And there are two sides to that. The first side happens to be that my life has been a vast array of different experiences, both in business, personal, connection, sales, inspiration, motivation, challenge, mindset, all these different things that I picked up along the way.
Yeah.
So we're very, very fortunate to have that as a background. And the other side of it and being able to use it, it started out as an inspiration, motivation keynote.
Right.
It was first and foremost. But the more that I talked about the three steps, experiences, stories, and fulfillment by helping others, when I talked about it and I thought about it and I lived it, I realized that at that moment, that it's the three steps that happen in so many different areas. Now, look, if someone comes to me and says, we're looking for a female speaker to talk about fraud in the banking industry, that's not me.
I can't
do that.
It's out of your lane.
For reasons.
Yeah.
Right? But if they say, hey, we need something that is powerful, we need something that is going to keep the audience's attention, and this particular event has to do with sales, or this particular event has to do with customer service, I say, great. I'm going to take your event, I'll know enough about your industry, and I'll be able to skew it still using the original framework, because I can't completely rewrite it, or I choose not to, because then the message will be lost. And I'll skew it towards customer service or sales and use dialogue and messaging and that type of stuff that they can relate to take back to their businesses and their personal lives. So it's a win-win on both scenarios.
Sure. But you brought up something that says the research. You know, it's walking in knowing your audience, because audiences want different things from different people. And you're right. They all want to be motivated. They all want somebody with passion. They all want somebody who's going to teach them something. But they want to make sure that whatever they're being taught has some relevance to them. So if you're talking to insurance salesmen versus, you know, used car salesmen, you're going to use different, you know, you're going to use different analogies. You're going to use different, you know, different words and different thought processes and different things. But the ideas will be the same, but your examples will be different.
That's absolutely correct. And anytime you can tie it into that, then they feel like this guy knows me or I can relate to that. And then the rapport and the bond becomes super, super strong. And the key, which is when you step in front of your audience, always keep it general and always make sure you connect. If you try and come in and be an expert, I mean, maybe you're an expert in a particular industry.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to step in front of a room full of real estate agents, I'm not an expert at being a real estate agent.
No.
But I can connect with them and say, look, I bought commercial properties. I bought personal properties. Mm-hmm. I know that experience enough. And then I can say from my experience, which is true to myself, and they can't refute that.
Right.
I say, wow, this guy understands me.
Yeah. So it's just, it's creating those hooks. It's creating those bonds between you and your audience, because nothing's worse than having that chasm between you, the stage, and your audience. And you look out and you realize that they're not getting you and you're not getting them. You know, it doesn't happen often, but it does. You know, every once in a while you've missed the mark. And the question is, when stuff like that happens, when you realize, you know, how do you pivot?
Well, you know, I just read an article this morning about a particular speaker who stepped on stage and he was like, it's so great to be here, Microsoft. And he used Microsoft three or four more times throughout his keynote.
Oh, no.
While he was speaking to PeopleSoft. So maybe the first time, if you catch yourself,
you'd
be like, okay. Oops. And like, wow, you know, and Freudian slip or whatever. Yeah. And you can recover from that. But at three or four times into it, you've lost your audience. It's complete devastation. No good reviews come out of that. You're probably not going to get hired or recommended again by the person that hired or recommended you.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, if there are times where there is a disconnect, I usually do enough research and understand my audiences that I don't get there.
Right.
So the closest that I can say is, let's say I've misused a word. So the definition of the word isn't correct. And you can hear the audience start to chatter, because that's one of their greatest things. Be like, ooh, he messed up, or she messed up, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, And then I let them know that I am not infallible. And I'm like, wait, did I just misuse that word? I did, didn't I? And then all of a sudden they're like, wow, he's just like me. He's human.
He makes mistakes like the rest of us.
That's right. And I might ask the audience, like, what was the word I should have used? And then, you know, you hear it from the audience and now they're engaged and you're like, oh, yeah, man. And then they get it. And so it's really being human, not being better than,
right,
and connecting with your audience and letting them know, look, we all get up in the morning and when we put on pants, we all do it one leg at a time. We're exactly all the same.
Yeah. Very few people I know can jump in the air and land in both legs at the same time. I can't do it.
No. I mean, I've tried. It didn't work out.
I landed on my face the first time I tried it. So, no, but it's, you know, as you said, it's connecting with the audience and it's keeping them involved. You know, I mean, especially if something like that goes on, but it's a matter of not just speaking at them, it's speaking to them and
correct,
making sure that they know that they're part of this. You know, making sure that the hands go up, making sure that people are nodding, making sure that you're asking questions that people can answer, you know, inside their heads, and being able to sit there and say, yeah, okay, I'm with him. And it's those check-ins every once in a while. And that's a tough thing to do. And, you know, what are the little things that you do to make sure that your audience is along with you for the ride?
Well, first and foremost, when I come onto the stage, you won't see a podium.
Right.
The podium does not exist.
I hate podiums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day, my absolute desire is to teach and share the craft of speaking. Mm-hmm. And in that, I want to take a sledgehammer to every podium I see. I just want to say, this is the thing that is blocking you and putting you...
Chainsaw. I like chainsaw better.
Chainsaw. That would be a great thing. The thing with the audience and the engagement is, even though there might be 100 people or 1,000 people in an audience, it's really got to be considered a conversation.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're not speaking at them and you're impressed by the audience. You're not trying to impress the audience. Mm-hmm. And so when they realize that there's that connection, and there are little things that you can do, and this is the craft, like, for example, if there's a powerful point that you want to say, you can look someone in the eye that's within the first couple of rows,
right,
and say that thing just to that one person. Mm-hmm. And when I do this, when I say that powerful thing to that one person, the whole audience feels connected.
Sure.
As opposed to the speakers that just look out over the sea of the audience. Instead, you're connecting and people feel that connection. So that's an example there.
Yeah, I love that. I love those. It's those little things. It's, you know, because that's what it is. It's little things that make the difference. And I don't care whether you're on stage or, you know, you sell candy in a candy store. You know, it's the little things that you do to make people feel special that make them talk about you.
That's right.
In a positive way. Because if you can connect with people, if you can get them to believe that you're on their side, that you're there to help them, you know, they're going to feel it and they're going to believe it and they're going to, you know, engage with it. And that's a special thing when you can have that connection with audiences and they're sitting there going, I'm with you, Kenyon. I'm with you. I get it. I'm going to sit here at the edge of my seat and I'm going on the ride with you. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to do.
That is 100% correct. And when you take them on that journey from the step one, is meaning the second you step onto the stage and you bring them through that whole journey all the way until the end,
yeah,
they feel like they were on the ride with you. They weren't an observer outside the ride.
Perfect. Now, I've got, you know, one last question I want to ask you just before we walk out the door. And that question is, when you get off stage or when you get out of a meeting and you know, the lights are down and you walk away and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you and your keynotes when you're not in the room?
Ultimately, it's not about what I say from the stage. I don't need them to remember anything that I said, the data, or some powerful point or something like that. Ultimately, what I want is I want the audience to remember how they felt. Mm-hmm. How they felt at different points during the presentation and that they had this gamut of emotions and those emotions gave them ideas. Because when they go back to how they felt, those ideas will come up, and then they'll be able to take those actions even outside the conference.
Right.
And that's very, very key for me. So it's not about what I say. It's about how I make the audiences feel. And I want them to remember that.
And that's it. You know, if people can feel, that will give them the triggers to remember the actual key points. But if they don't feel, then they weren't engaged. And if they weren't engaged, they probably weren't listening. So, you know, get them engaged, let them feel, and the key points will come back to them. You know, that's a great thought process. I love that. You know, Kenyon, thank you very much for taking the time to be with me. I really appreciate it. You know, hang out in the green room a second. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right back.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it.
It was great having Kenyon on the show today. He is a bundle of energy and a pleasure to listen to. Now, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, my name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing, and we want to help you to stop being a commodity and start being a brand worth loving. We want you to understand who you're valuable to and why, and help you tell that brand story that communicates your value in a way that people will understand and engage. But every Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast, this is the Your Living Brand Live show. We want to help you tell your story. We want to listen to people who have engaging stories that get people motivated and help people understand how they can serve their audience better. Come and join us. We'll see you next.